Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
For the majority of video games that exist right now, not dying is sort of the whole point. Even in series like Uncharted or Call of Duty, where the game is coded to make you feel like an unstoppable, unkillable hero, the reality is any wrong move and it's a quick trip back to the last checkpoint. In so many ways, this idea of restart and lives is core to gaming. And it's only really across the 2010s that we saw the pop culture boom of the roguelike make death more of a mechanic. Rogue Legacy, The Binding of Isaac, The Immaculate Hades all looked into the idea of respawning factoring into overall progression rather than hindering it. Overall though, some deaths in video games are unavoidable. Whether the devs needed to teach you a lesson, a cutscene finished a fight despite your performance, or any number of additional reasons, sometimes you do just need to bite the dust to actually finish the game. I'm Scott from WhatCulture.com, and these are 10 video game deaths you couldn't avoid. Also note, there are spoilers within, please check the description for details. Number 10, sacrificing yourself to save the world, Persona 3. When a game has a good and a bad ending, you'd presume a protagonist's death is reserved for the bad one, as something of a scolding for giving in to evil decisions rather than being good. This is not the case in Persona 3, as both good and bad endings see you die regardless. If you opt for the bad ending by killing Ryoji, the avatar of Nyx, you and all your friends lose the memories of your quest to save the world, spending your last days goofing around unaware that the world is ending and that it will take you with it. However, your fate isn't exactly better in the quote-unquote good ending. Instead of just killing Ryoji, you face his avatar form instead, then use social links to turn yourself into a seal, barricading Nyx from ending the world. Unfortunately though, doing so locks you in Tartarus, killing you in the real world. Number 9, Gaelith, Final Fantasy V. While Aerith is forever held up as the iconic death in Final Fantasy history, Gaelith goes out in style, literally facing off against the final boss of the game by himself at 1 HP. All of this to protect his granddaughter. While this context makes his death more logical than Aerith's, here the party do try to use items to revive him, but fail as he's too far gone, having pushed past the point of death while fighting. All of this makes this death one of the most notable scenes in the franchise that rarely gets its due. Number 8, Seath the Scalers, Dark Souls. The true bane for those trying to get through Dark Souls with zero deaths comes in the form of Seath the Scalers, as you do have to die to him once before you can do the fight properly. While there are technically ways around this, such as equipping rings that prevent you from going hollow or losing souls, you still have to be murdered by him in order to awaken the Archives Tower prison, allowing you to continue through the rest of the game. Though many have tried, Seath simply isn't beatable at this early stage without cheating, as he's effectively immortal. Thanks to his primordial crystal, Seath is invulnerable to even your most powerful attacks, and even though you can leave the Fog Gate in defiance, at some point you will have to die to continue overall. Number 7, the first Genichiro fight, Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. Throughout Sekiro, you'll fight Genichiro a minimum of 3 times, once in the beginning, once halfway through, and once at the very end, where he's a big ol' penis. You'll likely die to him countless times though, simply down to the difficulty of these fights. And turns out, even the most master players have to be defeated once in that first encounter. Yes, painfully, even if you do get good enough to beat Genichiro in this opening quasi-tutorial duel, you'll still get killed by him in a cutscene. One of his cronies distracts you with a throwing star, and he runs in for the kill anyway. Yes, he really is that big of a dick. Number 6, Dan, Obscure. One of the coolest things about Obscure is that outside of one exception, your actions legitimately decide who lives and dies. You could do a flawless playthrough and have everyone survive, or go on a rampage and be the only person left. It's all up to you. However, regardless of what you do, there's one character who cannot be saved. Dan. Despite him being the first teammate you get and having already suffered quite a lot, being experimented on for an unspecified amount of time, Dan simply can't escape this ordeal unscathed. In fact, he can't escape whatsoever, and after you try and escape the basement of Leafmore, Dan is promptly snapped up by the first monster that comes your way. Oh Dan, we hardly knew you. Number 5, The Lich King, Hearthstone. Creating a card battle game you can't win is an especially cruel trick, because since card games are based heavily on luck of the draw anyway, you can often think you've just got really bad luck instead of realizing that this boss cannot be beat. With that in mind, the first battle against the Lich King in Hearthstone is the embodiment of that mentality. You just know that countless players went through this fight getting more and more frustrated as your deck is full of cards with a cost too high to use. All of which while your enemy's side is full of overpowered cards that fill his side with monsters. Despite the fact it seems like you only need to survive 3 rounds to win, the fight is set up so that you die just before help arrives, with Arthas finally coming in. Number 4, Death by Bandit, Blood Omen, Legacy of Kain. Yes, anytime I mention Legacy of Kain in any list, I must ask, where the hell is this franchise? But for now, let's just focus on this. The first Blood Omen starts with an unbeatable fight against an unending horde of bandits, and it's a straight up cruel punishment. Brilliantly though, it's also the perfect way for Blood Omen Legacy of Kain to welcome you into its world. After exiting a closing tavern that has refused to serve you, you're greeted with the cry of "That's him!" as a bunch of angry bandits descend. This offers you around a moment or two to get the hang of combat as you dispatch a couple of bandits, but you'll quickly realize that there are simply too many for you to take out. All of your potential escape routes have been strategically blocked to ensure that you get killed. Even if you manage the borderline impossible task of defeating all the bandits, more will just keep spawning in until you eventually make one wrong move, facilitating the rest of the game. This might be one of the only deaths on this whole list that I'm totally fine with, because it allowed the entire Legacy of Kain franchise to happen. Number 3, Lord Aemon Puts You Down, Shadow of the Colossus. By the time you've killed all the Colossus in Shadow of the Colossus, you've no doubt come to a pretty unfortunate conclusion. Wanda is, in fact, the bad guy. The reveal that you're not a brave hero slaying evil beasts, but rather someone who's been unwittingly brought into killing a bunch of totally chill creatures guarding an evil spirit, is one of the most famous and most impactful reveals in gaming history. However, after killing the last Colossus, you receive a uniquely painful cutscene that sees character Wanda turn into the demon Dormin, having released it into himself. As the real monster of the game, you slaughter a bunch of innocent people, only to be sealed away inside the temple by the efforts of Lord Aemon and some all-powerful spells. You do get reborn after this, but the Wanda that we know and love is gone for good. Number 2, Tiny Tina Kills You, Borderlands 2. If there's one thing Borderlands 2's DLC Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep makes clear, it's that Tiny Tina is going through some stuff. When you play through the regular game, you don't recognize just how much Roland's death is affecting her. Then you play through this extra content, and it becomes very apparent that Tina has delved even deeper into a dark fantasy world to escape reality. Since you've decided to play D&D, this anger is to some degree directed at you throughout the course of the campaign. It's best shown in the first 5 minutes when Tiny Tina creates a dragon that you can't hurt and uses it to immediately kill you. Lilith then reminds Tina that starting a game with a boss fight you can't beat is pretty awful, and Tina brings you back out of guilt. It's a good thing she does, as this leads to one of the most interesting, funny, and occasionally quite sad storylines in the entire franchise. And number 1, The Demon, Clash at Demonhead. When a game is called The Clash at Demonhead, I'm gonna go ahead and say they need to make demons a pretty big deal. Since most unbeatable bosses appear at the start of a game, you just won't expect to be totally flattened around the midpoint. Visit Route 15 in this game, and a particular demon will just tear you to pieces within the blink of an eye. This is because you aren't supposed to beat this boss. Instead, you're supposed to be humbled by it. Having gotten so thoroughly beaten down, you realize that you need a specific secret weapon and set off finding the Sword of Apollo, all of which hopefully leading to your eventual revenge. Since character death wasn't a thing in side-scrollers for story purposes, usually it's just to take a life off you, this decision made Clash at Demonhead stand out, maybe also leading to the name being used in the Scott Pilgrim series.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.